suppose Jesus really means those kind of harsh words? You know, there's some things we read in Scripture I don't think we're real happy to read. We draw back at the idea, how are we supposed to hate the people in our own family? Surely Jesus doesn't mean that. And then that last phrase, if I'm going to follow him, I've got to give up all of my possessions. Last couple of weeks, I've been fighting a kind of personal, spiritual low time, struggling with some things. And I was sharing with a very dear friend of mine who works for a very bureaucratic organization, a person who truly loves the Lord, wants to serve the Lord, but have worked in a bureaucracy all of their lives and have finally gotten to a point they're actually to work in that organization and work with churches that combines her professional life with one of the great loves of her personal life. She's lived in a bureaucracy where she's seen people who are less competent and less qualified to lead being promoted over her because of who they know and their position in the bureaucracy. Now, I know some of you out there work in bureaucracies or have worked in bureaucracies, so you know what I'm talking about. But after all of these years, over 20 years, she's finally in her job, able to really combine what's really in her heart as a Christian and what she's doing every day to earn a living and make a difference in our society. And I was sharing about kind of being down about how the church was going and that I have such a vision and don't feel like maybe we're moving as fast as we need to go and accomplishing all that is in my vision, and was down. And she spoke these words that were rather comforting to me. She says, you know, Michael, it's not that we lay people don't know the right thing to do. You know, most of the time, we really do. But you know, we just get so caught up in the things of life. We get so caught up with everyday things that come our way. We just don't quite know how to take all of those things we know and put them into practice on a daily basis. And I said, so what you're telling me is maybe I need to slow down. Maybe I need to talk about that practical struggle of how do I take what I know? How do I take what I hear about God and God's Word and discipleship and put it into some practice that makes sense? And then I picked up the passage for this week. I wonder, hate your family, hate your friends. What is Jesus saying here about discipleship? And he's really saying that God wants to reshape us the way we were in the beginning, the way Adam and Eve were before sin entered the world. God wants to get our perspectives straight. God wants our focus to be completely on Him. God wants to rule in our hearts and lives. In other words, if you think of these circles as different areas of our lives and calls and claims upon us, there's something ruling our lives. Something that's at the center and the core of who we are that determines how we act day by day, what we set as priorities, what we live out in spite of what we know in our head, that our heart leads us. And when Jesus says words like, whoever comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters, yes, even his life itself, cannot be my disciples. Jesus doesn't want us to hate anyone. Jesus just doesn't want any one or anything or any idea to be the ruler of our heart. And yet, as my friend said and reminded me of the old campus crusade for Christ witnessing tool, we have a lot of things that can rule our life, but it all boils down to self. And what we decide is going to be the center of our lives. What we decide is going to be important. What we decide is going to be first. It might be family, it might be children, jobs, money, status, friends, houses, trips, any number of things, anything you can put in the blank spot over here. But we decide we're going to be in control of our own lives. And we grow up in a country that says that's what we're supposed to do. You're a good American if you just take charge of your own life. But that's not the way we were created to be. That's not the way God calls us to be in Christ Jesus. You see, when self and what we decide is going to rule our lives is at the center of our heart, our life can be kind of disorganized and all over the place. That's what my friend was telling me. She was saying, I know I'm not doing everything God wants me to do. I know my priorities aren't straight. That's why it's easier to go to worship, go to Sunday school, maybe go to Bible school, but she said, you know, if we really roll up our sleeves and get involved in real ministry, the real us is going to come out and people are going to see it. And we don't know if we want people to see that side of us, because we don't have it together. It's not organized. It's all over the place. Depending on what from day to day the self puts as the ruler of this day. When Jesus says something about hating family and friends and mother and father, he's not saying that we really hate them. He's saying that they become secondary. They're important, yes, but they shouldn't rule our lives. That when God is ruler of our hearts, deep down, not just something out here, one more thing to manage of all the things we're managing our lives, then the rest of life becomes orderly. The rest of life makes sense. The church makes sense. And anything else in our lives will fit in an orderly fashion, because God wants what's best for us. Jesus just doesn't want us to put those people first in our lives. God wants us to put Him first in Christ Jesus. God wants us to count the cost of discipleship and realize we have got to put Him at the center of our lives, the center of our hearts, the center of our motivation, and then the rest of life will make sense. And that's what my friend says. I haven't quite figured out how to do that, and I think most lay people are right there with me. Because, see, it includes giving up our own lives. That passage even closes with, you must be willing to give up all of your possessions. But it has to do with the will, that I give them to God. And when I give them to God and make God the center of my heart and my life, I let His lordship rule in my life, then He gives all of those things back to me in an orderly, meaningful way that makes a difference in my life and in the lives of others and in the life of the church and in the life of the world. Just like the potter, the potter's house, saw a flaw in what he was making. And I don't know if you've ever worked on a potter's wheel, but I have. And you know, you can just get a little too much moisture on your hand and put it on the pot, and the thing will just go. And what you do is you just scrunch it back together and you start all over again. Well, that potter saw a flaw. He wasn't happy with that creation. So he remolded the clay into a more perfect vessel. This God of ours sent His Son into the world to give His life, to give His body and His blood to assure us that He will remold and shape us into His likeness. But the only way that's ever going to happen, and the only way our life is going to have order, and the only way we're going to find true fulfillment is to make our God the Lord and ruler of our hearts. And then all of the things that are important to us in our lives will line up in an orderly fashion. And we can serve and glorify Him and just be happier day by day. See, I can't do that with my mind. But with the power of a living Christ that becomes real to me in these elements on the altar, I can be remolded into what God wants me to be. The church can be remolded into what God wants it to be. I'm haunted by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, the great nonviolent leader, who was educated in London and said, "So many of the things you teach are just like the things of Christ." And he says, "All I know about your Christianity, and it's a wonderful message. And if Christians really lived it, I and the whole world would be Christian." Those words haunt me. Because we try to manage our faith like we manage our house and our car and our money. And we could do it if God ruled our hearts and our lives. Will you give Him that opportunity today? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You that You're willing to shape us into something new and wonderful, but it's so hard to give up control of our lives. Because the whole world tells us we're supposed to be in charge, at least of us. Take charge of our hearts, that our lives might make sense, and that as we place You first, we could give up all our possessions. We could give up our family if need be, but generally You're never going to ask that of us. You just want to know that You're first.